Man, turn your Bible tonight to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. I've been doing a little study in the book of Philippians, and God really showed me something in here. I believe it'll help you tonight. Going into this year 2024, this will be our 11th year as a church. This will be. And when Paul wrote this letter to the book of Philippians to the church of Philippi, they was going into their about their 10th, 11th year, best I can figure, as a church there in Philippi. And this is one of the best churches that Paul had. He bragged on. He spent about 16 months in Corinth, and because they were so out of order and just a lot of stuff going on there, he had to spend a lot of time lining things out. But he wrote this little letter right here back to this church that he founded, he started, and it's about 10 to 11 years old. And I got to thinking about our church here and our people here. And I got to thinking about the heart of Paul when he wrote this letter to those Philippians, those Philippian church. He says in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timotheus. You remember what happened with Timotheus? He's Greek, and his daddy was a Greek, and his mommy was a Jew, and how that his mommy and his grandmother Lois had such an impact on him, and he was converted, and he was a preacher, and he went around with Paul. And Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you. Grace always comes before peace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Memory. I thank my God, verse 3, Philippians 1, 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Well, Brother Kevin, where was the Apostle Paul at when he wrote this letter and he had them on his mind, and he says a whole lot of, one of the key words in this whole book of Philippians is the word joy, about him having joy. Brother, he's in a prison when he writes this letter to them. And he's in bonds and in prison, and not just like a jail that we know of, or jail or prison. Here, he's in an old Roman prison, probably in the basement somewhere. And they didn't have food. Their family or friends or somebody had to come bring them food to that place, and they had to meet every need that they had in that place. It was nasty, disgusting environment that they lived in. And why he's there, Brother Jason, he gets to thinking about this church that he was at called Philippi, the Church of Philippi, and wrote this letter that God recorded in the Bible called the letter to the Philippians, to the Philippian church. And Paul starts this out saying, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What a memory that he had of this church, and what a memory that people have in their church with each other. And Paul begins to think about how this church, I believe, Brother Goble, that it got started. You say, Brother Kevin, how in the world did this church get started? It got started where Paul didn't even know to even go to Philippi. Paul had no intentions ever of going to Philippi. As a matter of fact, if you read in the book of Acts, go home and read it tonight, Acts chapter 16. Paul had on his mind to go down to Asia, is where he wanted to go. He got on a boat, began to sail down there, and the Bible said that the Spirit wouldn't let Paul go down there, and the Spirit turned him around and sent him another way. Why he was going on that other way, Brother Goble, well, he just still didn't know where he was going to. But God wouldn't let him go down to Asia where he wanted to go to. And in another place, God wouldn't let him go down to Rome. He wanted to go down there. Was it wrong for him to want to go? No. Because they need the gospel down there. But he wanted to go somewhere else. But God turned him around and put him right in Philippi. Listen, I bet 10 or 11 years ago, it would have never dawned on any of y'all's minds that you'd be sitting here tonight now, 10, 11 years down the road. It never dawned on my mind. Listen, what we would do right here. But God's got a way, don't He, of redirecting our steps and getting us where we need to be. And I believe when Paul began to think about this church of Philippi, I believe he began to think about just the big sovereignty of Almighty God. How God is in control of all these things. He's controlled the good things that come into our lives. He's in control of the hardships and the bad things that come into our lives. Hey, listen to me. For he says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together. He said all things, not good things. He said all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. And God, I believe, put on his mind, Brother Glenn, how God controls all things and his sovereignty. Well, when you go read Acts chapter 16, brother, he lands there. He has a vision, brother, on a boat. And there in the vision, he sees a man. He don't know the name of the man, but he sees a man in a vision. It's a man in Macedonia, where Philippi is. And that man says, Paul, come over here and help us. That's all he knows. And he landed there in Acts 16 at those coasts. And Gavin, he sat there a certain days. No doubt, Pokey, he's thinking, what in the world am I doing here? What's God got me here for? It's just me and Timothy are right here. So he begins to walk. And you know what he does? The Bible said in Acts 16, Bubby, that on the Sabbath day, he got up and was going to try to find a church to go to. If you want to know where God's got for your direction and what God's got to say to you in your life, it's always a good thing to get down to a church, y'all say it, where God's got a man called standing behind a pulpit with a Bible that proclaims the Word of God. Some of it for your good and some of it to step on our toes. But he went down to the Sabbath day there to find a little church. And he was passing by a little place and he heard something going on. And there was a woman there by the name of Lydia. The Bible said she was a seller of purple. Brother, she was a businesswoman. I believe she had a lot of money. And Paul goes up and they're there worshiping God. But Paul began to preach of the gospel of Jesus Christ unto this woman Lydia. I believe these are things that Paul's remembering in his mind. And the Bible said this, Brother Goble, that God opened up Lydia's heart so she could attend. That's what the Bible says. So she could attend to the things that was being preached. You know how you got saved, Brother Goble, with your testimony tonight? God opened up your heart so you could attend to the things that was preached. I didn't persuade you. I didn't come back and grab you. God had to open your heart so you could attend. And God had to open my heart one day so I could attend what? Or respond to what the gospel message is saying. So there that little woman, Lydia, gets saved. Brother, right there. And all those ladies around her by that riverbank. She was a businesswoman, brother. I know that she had some money about her. So he goes down to the city in Acts 16. And there begins to preach in that city. And a little devil-possessed girl began to follow Paul around. And here's what she said. She said, hey, these are the men of the Most High God, which proclaimed to us of the way of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that she did that a many days. Now let me ask you something tonight. Did she say anything wrong? No. What she was saying was right. But the spirit behind her was wrong, brother. And the Bible said it grieved Paul. And Paul turned around and rebuked her. And that woman got saved. And it caused a stir in that town. Why? Because she was a soothsayer. Brother, she was one of them that you called up on the phone. And she'd tell you your future. That's what she done. And when she got saved, brother, she caused all her masters to lose money. And they got mad at Paul and rounded Paul up and began to beat him and throwed him in prison. But Paul's saying, when I think about this little church, I think about Lydia that got saved. I think about the little devil-possessed girl that got saved. I think about that I would never even be there had God moved me to be there. Then he goes down to prison. And you know what he does in the prison? In Acts 16, he says, give me my lawyer. No, he don't. He gets down that prison and he says, whoa,
woe is me. I'm just down here preaching. I can't believe they're treating me this way. No, he don't. The Bible said Paul and Silas was with him down there. They began to sing praises unto God. And so much so that God caused something to happen. That an earthquake happened, brother. And all the cells came open. And the jailer goes in thinking everybody had left, brother. But they was all there. And you know the story. The jailer goes to commit suicide. And Paul said, do thyself no harm now. We're all here. And the jailer asked something. That's one of the most important questions, or the most important question that you and I could ever ask. And the jailer said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Amen.
Amen.
Paul's got this on his mind now, this church of Philippi. And that jailer down there, Brother Glenn, got saved.
Yeah.
And then, brother, this is what happened. The jailer cleaned his stripes up because he was beating on him. And then he cleaned him up, Glenn. And then the Bible said, he tells those Romans, he said, hey, those Romans found out that you're a Roman citizen, Paul. They weren't supposed to do that to you. So I want you to just leave out of here and get gone. And Paul said, no, they put us in here. Let them come down here and fetch us out of this place. And they just had a service right there in that old jailer's house. And all his household gets saved. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, of this little church. What are you saying, Brother Kevin? I'm saying, I believe Paul's sitting down there in that jail. 10 years ago, he's thinking about the church of Philippi. And Paul's thinking, man, I didn't even have Philippi on my mind. I never had Bubby White on my mind. Brother, I never had some of you on my mind or my heart. But here you are tonight, amen. You never had me on your heart and your mind. But God so arranged things, didn't he? God so orders our steps in such a way. And God orders our stops sometimes. I'm glad for that, ain't you? That he stops us from going somewhere sometimes. But God gets him down there. And while he's there, he had no idea that God was going to use these people now to start this little church. Now think about this. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Of who? Of who started that church. He used a rich woman now that was a seller of purple who was out of Europe, an Asian, and a devil-possessed girl, and a rough, hardened jailer to start a church that helped him four times, send him money, four times. That the main word that he describes his church is joy. Now think about this for a minute. These people, these salvations that he had down there, the experience down there, was who started that little church. Now, look at our little church. Look at any little church you got. There's people that's like Lydia sitting in there. Do you know that? There's people like Lydia sitting in there. They don't know what it's like to be like that devil-possessed girl used by our masters. They don't know what it's like to be a rough old hardened jailer. But there's Lydia's in there. Listen, some people never was took to Sunday school when they was little. Some people wasn't never taught nothing when they was little. Some people wasn't like that. But Lydia, I believe, she was down there worshiping Pokey. Somebody had taught her something about God. Somebody had taught her to worship something. And she's down there worshiping. I believe she never probably drank a beer. She's probably just a pretty good moral woman. But she was lost. And God used that woman and her resources that she had. She had resources that the devil-possessed girl didn't have, or the jailer didn't have. And God used that little woman to start a little church down there. And Paul used her. And Paul also used that little devil-possessed girl that the Bible said her masters used her. Brother, there's some people that come in here. Listen, they was abused when they was little. They've been through hard times. They've been in jail. They got marks on their body. They've had hard things. But don't let the lineages that said amongst us look down upon them, because they all got one thing in common, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So Lydia's down there. Paul said, I thank God for my remembrance of her. That little devil possessed girl's down there that used to work for these masters that brought them money around there. who lived a life that was rough. But God saved her. And God's using her down there to start this little church down there in Philippi. And then Paul goes down there to that jailer. Brother, a jailer oftentimes was a slave who would come out of slavery. And brother, they was a hard, hard man to be a jailer in that day. They was a rough man. They had a foul mouth on them, brother. I'm telling you. But thank God, listen, that God can save the Lydias. And God can save the little old devil possessed girls. Or little old devil possessed boys. That's been in all kinds of sin. And God can save them old rough hearted mouth coal miners. And truckers. And anything else. And listen to me, Brother Jason. God's got a way of putting all that together. And making a church of Philippi.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul said, I thank God. My remembrance of you. Every time Paul says, I thank God for my remembrance of you. Man, I believe in his mind he's thinking about, listen, God's sovereignty. He got my steps down there. And I believe Pokey's thinking about the salvations. I know me as a pastor. I think about you all. You're all in my heart all the time. I think about some of you, hey, you got saved. Hey, you come forward, or where we at, you talk to me, or where you was at in your house, or wherever it may be, where God moved upon you. And I thank God for all that, and how God uses all that. Boy, I tell you what, I believe God used a little sister Fan. I'd bring Ruth Fan here, and Johnny here, don't you, and their little daughter Mariah. I believe God used that, a little woman coming down here, and being saved here, and her witness. I believe some of you sitting here, I believe God used your wife. To bring you here, Jason, and different ones. God used Jamie getting saved to bring Goble and all those coal miners here and Gavin's here because of that. And I thank God that God knows how to put everything together to make a church. And Paul said, I thank God for every remembrance of you.
Amen.
You say, God can do that. Listen, brother, I read about one time in the book of Mark. Here's what God done. There was a man in Mark chapter 5. He was so bad, listen now, he was so bad that the community didn't want him around. And they tried to chain him up and he broke the chains. And brother, let me tell you something, I've seen people like this all the time. He was so wild and cut himself up there and run naked up there. And cut, nobody even go to him, brother, and he held out in the graveyard with the dead things. That's what lost people do. They're around dead things and they hurt themselves. And the Bible said Jesus went to that man, didn't he? Jesus went to that man and that man got saved. And I like what the Bible said, Brother Glenn, that when the next time they seen the old fella, he wasn't running around naked. No, sir. He had clothes on. He was sitting down or he was settled and he was in his right mind. You say, I need my mind straight, Brother Kevin. Brother, let God straighten that mind out. He said in Isaiah 26:3, I'll give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Brother, God can straighten out your mind, can't he? God can straighten out your heart. Hey, brother, I thank God that he can do it for them. He can do it for me and you.
Yeah.
Then there's another little woman there. She's been there in the same chapter. She spent everything she had for 12 years. Y'all heard that story, ain't you? But here's the part that we miss in that story. I want to tell you the part you miss in that story. She had something for 12 years. It affected her financially. She spent everything she had. It affected her socially. She couldn't go out in public certain places. She had an issue of blood. It affected her emotionally. Could you imagine? She spent all she had. It affected her social life. You imagine how emotionally that she felt? We just read this stuff in the Bible. We just pass over it. Could you imagine how it affected her relationally with her relationships? Brother, she had an issue of blood. She was unclean. She wasn't even supposed to be in her own house. And she was so weak that she had to crawl through the nasty cobblestone streets of Jerusalem where a crowd is, no doubt spitting, it's nasty and everything else, sanitary conditions. Brother, to reach the hem of his garment, you know that story. But the Bible said, Brother Johnny, when Jesus turned around and looked at her, knowing what was done in her, virtue had went out of Jesus into her. And the Bible said that he told her to tell her all the truth. He heard all the truth. In other words, I got to reading that the other day, and I got to think about this. With all that crowd there, Brother Pokey, Jesus turned around in love and in mercy, and the Bible said she told him all the truth. In other words, she told him everything thing that she'd been through in the last 12 years in front of all them people, just her and Jesus. And Jesus just gave her an audience just for her. Boy, aren't you glad sometimes when you can get along with God and you can just tell Him all the truth, and it's just an audience of one, just you and the Creator of Almighty Universe. Just hear what you've got to say, and He'll pay attention to you, and He'll love you, and He'll give you an affection, even though other people's are pulling at Jesus. You know, Jairus is there, and his daughter's dying, and Jesus knows what He's going to do there, brother. But He spends that time to hear all that she's got to say, amen? He'll spend the time to hear all we got to say, too. And Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, upon that church, and how it was founded, and the salvation that it was, and what it was built upon there, and the love that they had. Now, listen to me, brothers and sisters. This church is 10 years old, this church. And it's one of the best churches that Paul's got. And he writes 13 letters to churches in the Bible. He writes a little personal letter to Philemon about a runaway slave, which is a picture of how Jesus made himself a substitution for us. But he writes all these letters to the church of Ephesus. He writes two big letters to the church of Corinth. He writes a letter, Brother Jason, to the Galatians. He spends all this time, but in this church right here, he just spent a little bit of time. But it was just a little bit of time that's all needed, brother. Because they had something in them, brother, that when he thought about them, it brought him joy. And brother, let me tell you something. I want God, brother, to look down at this church right here and see the salvations in here. And see how God ordered people's steps that are in here. And say, listen, and when I think about that church, when my mind's on that church, that it brings the Lord such great joy. Amen. Amen. Hey, something else here too. He said, I thank God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Listen to what he says here. Always in prayer, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. He said, for this reason. Here's what he said. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's what he's saying right here. He's saying, listen, God ordered my steps, and God's in control, and God ordered your steps here tonight too. You say, well, I just made a decision to come out here tonight. You did, but God orchestrated everything to get you here tonight, and me here tonight. He ordered us, said, we ain't in the hospital tonight, are we? We're not in the funeral home tonight, are we? We're here tonight. God orchestrated all this from eons ago that you'd be here tonight and I'd be here tonight to hear this message. And Paul's thinking about the sovereignty of God and how God orders our steps. And he gets to thinking about the salvations that God had done in this little church from the first day. I want you to think about this. The spirit of unity that's in this little church right here. Did we get this? The unity that's in this church. Now, I just told you, you had a rich woman that had every resource probably had to her. I can see her kind of uppity up. You got a little old poor slave girl, demon-possessed girl, and you got a rough, foul-mouthed jailer. Do you think they got anything in common? Yeah. Listen to me. We're here tonight. Some of us ain't got a thing in common. If we wasn't in church tonight, we probably wouldn't be hanging out with each other, some of us, because we really don't have a lot of different things in common. That's what's great about the local church of Jesus Christ. Because, listen to me, we're not an organization or a social club to get in here together and to knit quilts and say all these things. That's not the local church. The local church is people that God's brought from all different cultures, people from all different backgrounds, from people from all different situations. And God's got a way of getting us saved by the grace of God and keeping the main thing, which is what, brother? The Bible said here, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I bet if they got together, boy, they could really pick each other apart. I believe that old girl could say, you know, Lydia, she's no rich girl, and she up there nosing me. She don't know what it's like. I believe that old foul-mouthed jailer could have said, well, you boys can see what I see. I believe they could have picked each other apart about where they came from and what they've been through. But no, sir, their mind and focus was on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what makes a strong church in the community? You know what makes a strong church that does something? When we keep the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word first and foremost. Amen.
I believe they had different personalities too. Huh? You think you got a church of different personalities? We all got different personalities, don't we? Everybody's got their wants. Everybody's got their desires. Everybody's got their little preferences, don't they? Everybody's got little things. If we was around each other long enough, what you do, what I do, we'd get on each other's nerves, wouldn't it? And C.S. Lewis wrote a book years ago, and I'm not, you know, everything C.S. Lewis writes, I mean, some of it ain't all right, I guess. Some of it's good. He's a Christian writer. He wrote a book. Get it, read it. You can get it for free, an audio book, and you can get the book for free, called The Screwtape Letters. That's what it's called. And Screwtape, he wrote, was a demon in the book. He was a chief demon on earth. And he had an underling under him called Wormwood. That was his underling under him. And Wormwood, he had one goal. He gave Wormwood. Screwtape was the chief demon. And Wormwood was his little underling demon under him. And Screwtape gave Wormwood one. He just got one job. He's got one job. Here's your job. Go to every little local church. Read the book. It's a good book. Keep you interested. It better bring some of that garbage that's out here. Keep your mind stayed pure. But he said, watch this. He said, go out there at every little church. He said, and get them away from the book. Get them away from their salvation experience. And get them on preferences. And get them on personalities. And get them focusing on their little things about each other that get on each other's nerves. And we'll keep them tore up. And they won't be nothing for God. Amen, preacher. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Boy, ain't the devil smart, ain't he? And he said, he told, it's in this book, I read it. It's so true. He said, and whatever you do, Wormwood, keep their head down. Because we don't want their head up. Because if their head gets up, they'll see the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. They'll lose all focus on their self and on each other. Then they'll surely gain the victory. Amen. Listen to me, the devil don't want us gathered in here as a church. The devil didn't want this little church of Philippi here with all their personalities and all their backgrounds there. But Paul wrote a letter, and one of the chief words throughout these four chapters in Philippians is this, is joy and rejoicing. Really, Philippians 4:4, rejoice, I say, in all things. And again, I say, rejoice. Philippians 4:13, you know that verse? Well, they wear it on their eyebrows, don't they? Playing football. I can do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Who said that? Paul said that from a prison to a little church that was had people saved from all walks of life. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't want a uniform church. You know what a uniform church is? Everybody comes in, they look alike, they sing alike, they act alike. I've been here in church like that before. Everybody just looks alike, they stay alike. I've been in church like that before. And the way I preach, I tear them all to pieces. And they're like, what are we supposed to do now? I like the pure words unity and not uniformity. There's a difference now, unity and uniformity. Because God made us who we are, brother. I can't be you and you can't be me. God made you who you are. And God saved you where you're at. And God works on you and God's going to use you. You'll reach people that I can't never reach and get them into the local church where God can do something in that person's life, brother. That's the church of Philippi. This 10-year-old little church that God, listen, when Paul wrote from that jail cell, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you because what had been done in that local church, amen. Brother, God ordered their steps. God brought some salvations through there. And God, well, they had the real spirit of unity in that church. He said, the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He was continued on and on and on. Then he says something in verse 11. He says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. He said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now watch this. You get saved by God's grace when Lydia got saved, when that little demon-possessed girl got saved, and when that jailer got saved, they got saved. When you got saved and I got saved, God begins to work in our lives. The Spirit of God begins to work in us, brother. And listen, even though you're not all that you should be, you better not be what you used to be. Amen. God begins to work on you.
But God begins to put fruit in your life, brother, and there's fruit that remains, brother. And the Bible said, Paul wrote in the book of Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is, about verse 9, he said, what's the fruit? There's 9 of them there. A person that gets saved has love, don't they? I'm not talking about the love that the world talks about. I'm talking about love for the local church. Love for each other, brother. Love for the gospel. A love for humanity out here. A love that goes a long way. Love, joy, peace, brother, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, self-control, of such faith, of such there is no law. And when a person gets saved, God begins to put that in us and put us in the body, and we begin to get filled with the fruits of righteousness. Amen. He calls them saints, don't he? Saints in Christ Jesus in verse 1, which are at Philippi, means they stayed at Philippi. With the bishops, that's the deacons, that's the leadership of the church. He said, these people are saints, and saints ought to be saintly, ain't they? You're a saint if you're saved by God's grace. You ain't got to be in a Catholic church. That Catholic church needs, ain't right. If you're saved by God's grace, you're a saint. Amen? We're all saints if you're saved, and saints ought to be saintly, right? If you're a Christian, you ought to be a Christian. Amen? Ought to be show out in your life. Matter of fact, when they called them Christians, in the book of Acts, it was a slang term. Did you know that? I mean, they called them Christians, mocking them as a slang term. Now, everybody's a Christian, brother. They sang a little rock music on TV and looked like a wild man. Well, they're a Christian. Brother, back in the book of Acts, they called them a Christian. It was a vulgar term thrown at them. You're just like Christ. Praise God, I wish the world would look at us and say, now, there goes a Christian right there. There goes somebody that's saintly. There goes somebody. I'm not talking about uppity nose and hair. Act like you're better than everybody. I think what I'm talking about, you know better than that. But there's something about you that's different. God's made a change in your life. Brother, that little demon-possessed girl in Acts 16 that got saved, her life changed so bad they wanted to kill her. They hated her because it disrupted some businesses in that community. Hey, Pokey, you know what'll help the fentanyl problem in Pike County? You know what'll help the methamphetamine problem of the drinking problem in Pike County, if people really got born again by the Spirit of God? You want to help the jail problem? You want to help the prison population and the rehab centers? If people really got born again by the Spirit of God, there'd be some businesses now that would really suffer real lot if people really got saved. Amen. Amen. This woman got saved. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Brother, listen to me. He's thinking about all them salvations down there. And that church that was founded. And the spirit of unity that was found in that little church right there. Because of the fruit that they had. And because of the fellowship that they had. And one last thing here. He says this here. He says, being confident of this very thing in verse 6. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What are we doing? What are we doing? We're in here serving the Lord. And some of our people that's been members of this church, my dad was the first one. Sister Fan was another one. My grandmother was another one. They met verse 6 right here. Work in you, we'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. They passed on. They made the final hit and left this church right here and joined the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. They made the final run. And Paul no doubt's taking in 10 years in that time span, the average lifespan. During that time, this is about AD 52, average lifespan of a man or woman then was about 35 or 40 years old. And in 10 years, no doubt, there'd been several people, Brother Goble, and this little church of Philippi pass off the scene. And brother, no doubt, Paul's thinking, hey, they got in there, they got saved by the grace of God. They got in there and got filled with the Spirit of God. The fruits of righteousness came out in their life, brother. They fellowship with the believers there, loving one another. And they got their final destination when they went home to be with Jesus Christ. That's what a local church is supposed to be all about right there. It ain't a social club. It ain't on whose dress is the prettiest and who can preach the best and who can sing the best. Praise God, it's about us coming around and fellowshipping and loving one another and helping one another and encouraging one another and protecting these children over here and putting things in their hearts about Jesus Christ, because that final day is fastly approaching, dear people. And Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every remembrance from a jail cell. Every remembrance of you.
When the Lord looks down on our church, and you're in His church, or if the Apostle Paul was the pastor of His church, I wonder if he'd look back and think, man, I thank God for that little church down there. I thank God for the people that's in that little church down there. I do. I know I do. I thank God for the people that's in this church. I thank God to see people that's been saved, they're still here, still serving God, that's been restored back to fellowship. Folks coming in that's never made a profession of faith and that let the Lord work on their hearts like Lydia. Brother, that's why I don't coach people down. I let the Lord work on people's hearts and minds and let God draw them. Because that's the way the Lord works. That's the way Paul worked, right? That's the way God worked through the Apostle Paul. But I thank God upon the people that's been saved in this church and what God's done in the lives of some people in this little church right here that I would ordinarily never have met or crossed paths with in my life had not God moved us sovereignly to the 52 Little Robinson Creek Road at the mouth of this little holler right here in these mountains to have a little church. And what an impact you made in the lives of other people. And if the Lord tarries His coming 50 years, you don't even know what kind of impact you'll make in somebody's life. You don't know what kind of impact you make in the little child's life over here. Let's say the Lord's not going to come back for 100 years. We don't know. He may come back tonight. But let's say 100 years, ain't none of us going to be here. 50 years, how many of us going to be gone? About everybody in here, 50 years, be gone. Some of us may be here. Some people may be here. But 100 years, ain't none of us going to be gone. I work with churches that's been around for 140 years. They's two members sitting there. They used to have 200 members sitting there. Now they've got two. What happened? But your impact could go on and on and on. But I thank my God upon every remembrance of some of them in His church that's been saved. And the spirit of unity that's here. The fellowship. That's what Paul said in this little church. Because why? Because someday, listen to me, someday you're going to stand before God. Saved or unsaved, you're going to stand before God. And I'm going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account for everything come out of this church. Everything. You're going to give an account for what you heard, how you heard it, what you did with what you heard. I'm going to give an account for what I preached, how I lived before that. That's serious business, ain't it? This ain't no play date. You're going to give an account for your homes, men. You're going to give an account for your children. We're going to give an account for our faithfulness. All these things. And Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He never said that to the church of Corinth, Bubby. And he wrote two letters to them. Because he had to spend all this time because they were so out of order and disorganized and bad doctrine had come in. But for this little church, they got saved, kept it right, and made a big impact for the kingdom of God. Let's stand.